What is Peace Brain? Peace Brain is the synergistic connection between our mental and emotional bodies, blending the electrical power of the mind with the magnetic force of the heart. Listen and explore how to create unity worldwide as we blend science and metaphysics and open our hearts and minds to the possibilities of peace on Earth and create the life we are each destined for. Featured guests range from angel communicators to zoologists and everything in between. Now here is your host, Dr. Gail Lash.
Welcome to the Peace Brain Show. This is your host, Dr. Gail Lash, and I'm very happy to have you here today. Today we have an amazing author that I'll bring on in just a minute, Servette Hazan, and she has written some powerful topics about how to make transitions in your life from times of loss, and that could be anything. So we're going to be discussing that, along with a wonderful transformative meditation that we always have at the end, our Peace Brain Meditation. So, but first, as you know, if you've listened to my other shows, I want to open the show with a quote. And this one actually is from the Universal House of Justice. And it's about a path. It's about what is a path. So it goes like this. The very notion of a path is itself indicative of the nature and purpose of the courses. For a path invites participation. It beckons to new horizons. It demands effort and movement. It accommodates different paces and strides. It is structured and defined. A path can be experienced and known, not only by one or two, but by scores upon scores. It belongs to the community. To walk a path is a concept equally expressive. It requires of the individual volition and choice. It calls for a set of skills and abilities, but also elicits certain qualities and attitudes. It necessitates a logical progression, but admits, when needed, related lines of exploration. It may seem easy at the outset, but becomes more challenging further along. And crucially, one walks the path in the company of others. So I really like this quote. I chose it actually today because we're going to be talking about a new path, carving a new path in your life. And I like that this quote really talks about how to move along a path of life, not just with ourselves individually, but also with others as a community, and that we can really use it as a community, as a guide, a path as a guide. So you have to walk it with choice, with willpower, and with action, and yet it also invites exploration and finding new ways, new beginnings, new possibilities. So this actually leads us great into our author today, my guest on the Peace Brain Show, Servette Hazan, who has written this book called Life in Transition, and that's mainly what we'll talk about, although many stories to go with that today. Let me read you her bio. It's pretty amazing. She's had a varied career and began as a model, which led her to the Los Angeles Times, where she worked with the fashion section for almost a decade. Her articles appeared in the Los Angeles Times, East West Magazine, Los Angeles Parent, and many more publications. Her writing talent landed her such positions as copywriter for Fred Heyman, a former owner of Giorgio's, and event coordinator for Peter Norton, where she planned parties for the rich and famous. But her thirst for spiritual knowledge grew stronger and eventually transported her to Tibet and later to India, where she met the Sai Baba. Encouraged to seek the path of enlightenment, she spent years studying the mystic masters of the Far East, gaining their secrets and receiving their blessings to bring this priceless knowledge of how to attain wealth, happiness, vibrant health, and mystic powers to the rest of the world. She has made it her life's work to share these messages with millions through her television and radio appearances, live seminars, workshops, and her books. She's also a clairvoyant and a medium, a gift passed down to her through many generations, and can provide a glimpse into a person's soul, giving them a deeper insight into their character and enabling them to obtain their full potential. She is the author of several books. One of them is Exercises for the Mind, How to Read Any Man's Mind, Tune Him In, Turn Him On, and The Intuitive Heart of Romance. And then the book today we'll mention most prominently, Life in Transition, An Intuitive Path to New Beginnings. Servette is the author of a monthly column entitled Inside His Head, which runs locally in Orange County, California, and a weekly astrology column for the Laguna Beach Times. She's also an ordained minister. She was born in Pakistan. She's also a citizen of Great Britain, Canada, and the United States, and she considers herself a citizen of the world. And you can find out more about Servette at servettehersan.org. That's S-E-R, V as in Victor, E-T, H-A-S-A-N, servettehersan.org. So welcome, Servette, to the Peace Brain Show.
Well, thank you, Gail. Thank you so much, and I appreciate you having me on your show. Thank you.
You're very welcome. It's exciting because I know in our conversations before this, we've talked a little bit that you really are all about peace as well. And you've traveled the world. You've done so many things. You have so many great stories. Where would you like to begin?
Oh, I know. I know. I can be, this is a good topic. I'm glad you're doing a show. I'm glad you're into peace, and the Peace Brain Show is awesome because that's what it's all about right now. The world needs peace, and the world will only change if we change. You know, if you want your world to change, you have to change. And so the more peace we find as individuals, the more we will find as a community, and that's how you change the world, you know?
You're absolutely
correct. So it's important. It's important. It's very important right now. Mm-hmm. It is.
Well, I know in your book, you're absolutely correct. It's about changing yourselves. And in your book, Life in Transition, you talk about several of your losses. And I know that each one of us has had some kind of loss in their life. And that requires change. It isn't always easy because life changes, you know, when something drastic or tragic or unexpected happens. Tell us a little bit about how you got inspired to write that book. What prompted you to do that?
Right. Well, life is one big transition. I mean, we are all transitioning. Now, some of us have bigger challenges than others, but it's still the same. It's still having to go through the process of change and a transition, which is not easy. And you know, I've gone through a lot. I've been to hell and back many times. So, and I can,
glad you're back.
I had a very interesting childhood because my parents were from Pakistan and I'd been all over the world. I didn't feel like I fit in. I ran away when I was 14 and a half because my parents, pretty much my father said to me, the only way a Muslim girl leaves a Muslim father's home is two ways, either married or in a coffin. So you pick. And I was like, so basically they were telling me they were setting me up for an arranged marriage. Mm-hmm. It was 1973 or 4 or something like that. I was like, there's no way in hell I'm doing that. No. So, I mean, the challenges started then, and I left home and I never went back.
Wow.
So I've since made up with my parents, and then there's been many more challenges along the way after that. But it all comes down to, I think, you know, like people ask me how I did that, and I think at that age, I just didn't know any. I just didn't have any fear, you know, because that's what's hard. It's hard for people to change because that's what happens. Everybody starts to go into fear, and there's really nothing to fear because change is good. It's growth. It's how our soul evolves on this planet. So it's important, and if we can just get past the fear, then we can get through anything. You know,
so
we can get around anything.
Mm-hmm. Let's explore this for a moment because I'm looking at this story and putting myself in your position. If, you know, at 14 and a half in Pakistan, leaving home, like, where did you go? Who did you turn to? How can you, said you had no fear, but you must have, you had to do it, it sounds like. So how did it happen?
Well, I wasn't in Pakistan. We'd gone from Pakistan to London, where I became British, and then from there to Montreal, where I became Canadian, which was very difficult because I had to learn French with a very heavy British accent. And also, you know, I was a little, they'd never seen anything my color. They didn't know what I was, really. they called me chocolate face in school. So by the time I got to, I know, and you know, the funny thing is that the only kind of chocolate I'd ever eaten was from in London was white chocolate. So I didn't even understand that they were making fun of me. It was so, I mean, really, honestly, I had no idea that they were being mean. So anyway, then we came to America. So when, by the time I left home, we were in California. And, you know, I was doing my thing. I was modeling for 17 Magazine. I wasn't a great student. I was messing around a lot. But I was having a ton of fun, and I was in high school. And when they said, and I just had to leave. I just couldn't see doing that. I said to my father, what are you thinking? This man, whoever I marry, is going to say what's for dinner, and I'm going to throw a can of Campbell's soup at his head, and he's going to take out a gun and shoot me, and that's the end of that. So how does that work?
Oh, my.
You know, it didn't make sense to me. It didn't make any sense. So I, you know, in the 70s, I had friends that were graduating who got a little apartment, and I moved in, and I was making a little money, and I made it work. I finished high school, and went on.
Wow, just, good job.
You don't think what could go wrong. You just know you've got to do it. And when people are faced with a transition and it's forced upon them, they make it. Most people make it work. What's hard is making a transition before it gets to a place where it's a challenge and it's terrible, like a divorce or something like that, where you know you should leave, but you wait till it's just till you're ready to kill each other instead, until you're forced to do it, which it doesn't have to be that way. You know, if you get past the fear, you can transition a lot easier than you think you can. Does that make sense?
Yes, you've made a really great point here, and I want to explore that just a little bit, because you're absolutely correct. Most of us, or many times, we've had instances in our lives where we've been kind of, you know, you have to really be forced out to make a change, but you just talked about making a transition before that point. What signs, if you will, and I think we all know this in our gut, when we know something's not working, but when is kind of the best time, if you will, or what are the signs and then the steps to take to move forward?
Well, the name of the show is a peace brain. So the minute the peace is gone, not that you should just give in and give up, but like people hate their jobs and then they complain and they complain and they complain and they're not at peace. And it's like either make peace with being there because there's some good reasons for being there or leave.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
So when you are, because then you get sick too, because when you're in that much turmoil and it's that terrible, you won't. It's time to go before that happens. Like I've done a lot of workshops, and inevitably I'll have someone in the back of the room stand up, and a woman will say, you know, my marriage is awful, my marriage is terrible, and, you know, he's done this to me, and he's done that to me, and he's, you know, he steps over me when I'm on the floor. You know, all these horrible things that I can't even begin to tell you. And my answer to that, well, it is awful, and I'm not going to put that down, but here's the thing, it's not awful enough. Because if it were awful enough, you would have left. You would find a way to move. And that's what I'm trying to say, is it's nice to make the transition before it's at that point.
Right.
Where it is so bad. Because most of us can live with a little misery in the back of our head. you know, that little river of misery going on, because it's easier to do that, it's more comfortable to do that than it is to just get up and make the change, you know?
Yeah, that's,
and
that's
what
habit.
I'm saying is, yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it's if we can just get past that fear and take that step, you know, if you want to move, move. You know, yes, there's challenges. I mean, I once looked at my father and I said, I don't know how he did. You know, he's from a third world country. He didn't have money. He didn't have anything. He was a structural engineer, and he just decided he wanted to come to America. So he, you know, he'd been here briefly at UCLA when I was born, actually, because on an exchange program. So he had, the United States wouldn't take him, so he went to London, and then he went to Canada, and then he got here. And I said to him one day, I said, how did you find the courage? And he said, courage. He said, I just had to do it and I didn't think about it. I was like, okay, you know, I mean, I couldn't move from LA to Orange County, which is like 70 miles without having a nervous breakdown. And he's telling me, you know, okay, you just get up and you know what? It was true. I just got up and did it. And you make it work. And what's the worst that could happen? You can always make another change, you know?
This is what I want to explore. You just hit the nail on the head. We generally don't make the changes because we have these fears of these terrible things that can happen. But you're right. What's the worst? The worst that can happen. And then if it doesn't work out, then it's another change. And that sometimes is scary, but that actually can be a really great relief as well. It's like, well, I don't have to make this a huge commitment. Let me just take this first step.
Right,
and
exactly.
That's the way to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's what I think John Wooden said this, but fear is false evidence appearing real.
I
and
use that
true,
too.
You know? Yeah, mm-hmm. And he was a great coach, you know? But it's our own heads doing it's our brain that's not at peace, and we're not stepping past that. And I think one of the easiest ways to do that is to go one little baby steps. And like you said, then don't think of it as then this is written in stone. You can always go, you know, you may not want to go back to where you were, but you could always go to something else, you know?
Yeah.
Nothing is, and you talked about this in the quote at the beginning, the path may change, but if you have faith and trust, like I think Dan Millman said in The Way of the Peaceful Warrior, wherever you put your foot, the path will appear if you're in that place.
That's true.
Because
that's true.
Then you just know you're going, at least you're going somewhere and you're not stuck, you know?
Good
I think
point.
That's harder.
And that is
yeah.
a great movie. You're right, The Peaceful Warrior. I encourage everyone
right.
to go watch it. No, go ahead.
No, he's a great writer. The Way of the Peaceful Warrior is still a classic. It's
yes,
worth
it is.
Watching or reading. Yeah.
Exactly.
Definitely.
So tell us a little bit more about your book and the wonderful wisdom in it.
Mm-hmm. The Life in Transition. Well, there are exercises to help people get through. Mostly, it's about forging a new path. But it's also getting through the one that you're on, too, because you have to stay present, stay in the moment, but also move through the stages, if you will, so that you grieve and you mourn correctly. Because otherwise, if you just keep going and don't look back at what's happening or forgive or whatever it is you need to do along the way, it will happen again because the universe is extremely patient. So if you don't get the lesson, it is. It's just going to like, oh, so you didn't get it. Here you go again. So the faces may change and the names may change and the city can change. It doesn't matter, but there'll be the same situation that will occur one more time. So to me, the most important thing is to learn the lesson and then move forward into the next situation. Otherwise, you're just repeating the same thing that happened before. Now, I'm not talking about the loss of a loved one, but this is more for like breakups or even jobs or losing a home or losing, you know, those types of things. So you don't want to keep repeating the same mistake.
And I'm sure we're not alone, and everyone listening has probably had that happen. I know I certainly have, of repeating the same mistake and going, oops, I didn't get it yet. this is the same situation. And so I think I know the answer to my own question, but when do we know we've learned the lesson?
Aha. And that's an aha. It is that moment where you say, oh, yes. And you can call it an aha moment, or you can call. And here's the other thing: it doesn't happen again. It doesn't, because people will say to me, you know, how do I get rid of these people in my life that are doing this and that? And I was like, you know, when you raise your consciousness and you move past that, and you got the lesson, and you got why you don't want that to be, those people disappear all by themselves.
That's true.
They can no longer connect to your energy. And they have no desire to be, you know, especially like women that who have come to me and keep saying, I keep, let's say as an example, I keep attracting unavailable men. And I'm like, okay, well, until you get that, they're going to keep showing up, because it's not like we don't all meet jerks and we all don't meet unavailable men. The difference is that you're giving them your phone number and I'm not. So that's the difference. So then suddenly when they do get it, that there are no unavailable men coming around. They're not attracted to her anymore. You see?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about, you know, you brought up something here about energy and your intuition, about knowing and raising your consciousness to a level where you really are supporting yourself, but supporting your soul and your purpose and moving forward in your own light. How do we, what are some guidance or exercises or direction you could steer people into to learn more about that? Or is it just tuning into our own intuition?
Well, it is, and you know, we have like 6 or 7 hours. I could keep talking about that.
There's a lot out there. I know.
There's a lot, but it's a lot. It's a big subject, but it is about listening to your inner feelings, your intuition, your connection to the higher source. I honestly believe that's a different. I think we all have that intuitive ability. You know,
yes.
To me, I differentiate psychic ability from that because psychics can sometimes read into another person's energy. They pull it out and then they interpret it. So there's a little bit of room sometimes for error, especially if they're not good. But whereas I think just like, you know, we have instinct to blink our eyes and, you know, that's our brain's instinct. It knows how to digest your breakfast. If you had to digest your breakfast on your own, we'd probably all be dead. But so our bodies are very, you know, they have that instinct. And to me, intuition is your instinct of the soul. It really is a direct connection to higher source, and it is never, ever, ever, ever wrong. It really is it's a spontaneous reaction. It's your instinct. So if you do listen to your inner guidance, you usually can transition through things or will know what to transition through. I think one of the most important exercises is forgiveness. And who are you forgiving? Forgiving is you're giving yourself a gift, because you're really forgiving not only another person but yourself. And you're not letting them off the hook. You're not saying, okay, what you did to me is forgotten. You're just saying what, to me, forgiveness is about. And also the definition of wisdom for me is that you get the lesson and you understand it, but now you no longer allow it to emotionally damage you. You get it,
good point.
And you can you can take the lesson and not, and it doesn't emotionally phase you anymore because you got it. So you don't have to have lunch with this person, and you don't even have to see that person again. But it's really good if you forgive them and forgive yourself, not for what they did to you, but for like allowing it to hurt you and let it go, because that frees up so much energy in a person's consciousness. It's really a good way to move forward, you know?
Excellent advice.
Forgiveness.
You're right, because otherwise it's this energy that could be held in the back of the mind or the heart that is always there and really navigates your world for you without maybe even consciousness. Or I've known some people who hold on to regret or hold on to grudges or hold on, in other words. and it really it influences the whole life, whether we think about it or not.
Right.
So taking that charge, that emotional charge off of it with that forgiveness is a way to be free.
Right. Well, I believe it was Nelson Mandela, and I'm going to paraphrase because my memory's going as I get older, but he said something amazing, and it was something like, you know, holding grievances towards your enemy is like drinking poison yourself and hoping it kills them. You see, you cannot, I paraphrase because I know I'm messed up.
No, I understand.
But it's true. The only people, though, that are holding grudges or regrets or grievances towards anyone or anything or any situation at all, the only person you're hurting is yourself, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's
true.
It's just coming back. It's like, let it go. Let it go. You know, that's
the other person doesn't even know that you're doing that. Normally it's just inside of each of us as opposed to the other one. Yes.
Right. So, and I've also, go ahead.
I was just going to ask more about your book. So go ahead. Tell us more.
Oh, well, okay. So I've also dealt with people because I'm talking about letting things go. Sometimes it's hard to let something go when it's like, you know, you say, well, there's a lesson in everything. There's a gift in everything. And then I have women that just want to slap me and say, you know, that man murdered my daughter and you're telling me there's a lesson and there's a gift and I'm going to kill you, you know. And I'm like, okay, well, don't do that. And, you know, go ahead. But the thing about that is that even then when it's something you can't control because life happens and we don't have control over that. My answer to that is that, in helping someone get through that is that it may not be your lesson. It may be that person everybody has a soul path. Again, back to the path. And that our souls have a journey to come here and do what it does and needs to learn here. And when they're done doing what they're doing, then they don't no longer need to be on this planet, in this energy field, whatever you want to call that. So they can move on to a different level. That, to me, because nobody ever dies, I think we're just on different channels, you know, different dimensions or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, they've moved on. And that's a good thing. And then we have to go through that loss and we learn something from that. But, you know, because it's hard to tell someone that's gone through a tragedy. Like, look at the 17 children in Florida. I mean, there is no rhyme or reason to that some monster could come in and hunt those kids down. But in the end, maybe there will be actually gun reform now. You know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm not justifying that. I'm horrified by anybody losing a child, but something good can come of this, and that's a nice thing too, you know?
Well, and
it's
that gets
hard.
On the spiritual level of, as you said, everyone's on their soul's path, and so we have spiritual agreements, I think, that we come to the life to live, lessons to learn. We've carved out our path, if you will, with Creator of what we came here for. And when we're done, we're done. And so in some regards, one could look at the children and the all the players in this tragedy or any tragedy as an agreement to put forth a greater lesson, a greater good. And you're right, that may come with the different ways that we look at our guns, mm-hmm. and our ability to have them or use them here in this country as a benefit. Mm-hmm. Even though you're right, it took a tragedy to sort of bring that to the forefront.
Right. Well, it took several,
exactly.
But this one is started a movement called Never
yes.
Again, and that's awesome,
yes.
you know. And
yes.
I think that that's really an amazing thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I'm sure, I'm certain it will work because mm-hmm. it's that's their destiny now. So
exactly,
you're right. And exactly, I think we do have agreements and certain, you know, and I think probably somewhere on another plane, another level, we thought that this would all be okay. Oh, so that man's going to come along and destroy my life when I'm 30. And we thought that was probably fine on a different, you know, and then we get here and we have to deal with it, you know, and that's a little harder. But, you know, No, go ahead. I don't mean to.
Well, I was just thinking of a TED Talk that I watched the other day, and this is from Amy Purdy. Her last name is Purdy. She was a snowboarder. She was a teenager and loved mm-hmm. to ski and snowboard. And then she was a massage therapist too. And to paraphrase her story, really, she said that a gentleman came to her who was a massage client and said, "Have you transitioned over yet? Crossed over yet?" And she said she was thinking not about dying when he asked that question, but more about she was only 19 and she knew there was something more to happen to her life. It needed to be bigger. And she thought he meant that. And she says, "No, not yet." And he said, "Well, when you do, don't be afraid." And so what happened a month later from that is she got bacterial meningitis and was in the hospital and almost died and lost her legs. And so she had these new legs that, you know, orthopedic prosthesis legs that suddenly she realized this was her life now going forward, and she wanted to snowboard again. And she said she had to accept that. I mean, what a transition. She had to accept that she mm-hmm. was never going to have legs again. But with these new legs, she wanted to snowboard, and she felt the wind in her face. She felt herself slicing through the powder of the snow. She felt the cold and the prickliness of the snow and the cold on her face, and knew that she could do it again. And so she actually ended up becoming a Paralympic champion, and in snowboarding, she did Dancing with the Stars, and you know,
right?
Has become,
I know who she is. Yes,
yeah, she mm-hmm. has become a spokesperson for those who have had to have such a drastic physical transition of losing limbs or that type of abilities.
Mm-hmm.
So her life has become this amazing journey that is really of hope and grace and gratitude, and so there's more even from these kinds of tragic transitions that really can spur one to open up the human spirit and the human heart.
Well, exactly, and that this is a good point because it was what shifted or raised her consciousness to another level is perspective. Because
yes.
you could look at that and say, "Oh my God, I'm just going to go into victim mode and I'm going to be in a wheelchair and I'm going to do nothing." Or you can say, "Oh my God, I still want to get out there and try doing what I love doing and be an inspiration for a whole new generation of people." And the same thing goes with I did another workshop, and a woman came up to me. I did several in a row, and she had come to all of them. And at the first one, she said her husband, what she thought her husband was having an affair and might leave her. And the next time I saw her, I asked her what happened. And she said, well, you know what? And this is a woman in her 60s. She wasn't a young person. She was in her, and she'd been married for over 20 years. And she said, you know what? She said, he left me and I'm good riddance. If he wants, and she wants him and he wants her, let them have each other, because who wants a guy like that? Okay. Yeah, whereas in the same perspective, I mean, I've had other people that's happened to, and they're devastated and they can't get out of bed for days and days and days. So it's a perspective, a shift in how you're looking at it, because you could look and say, oh, wow, this is it. Or you could look at it and say, oh, wow, this gives me an opportunity to find someone who really does love me and who's not doing that, you know?
And, you know, you're so correct, because you bring up the concept of perspective. That's exactly what Amy said. She asked herself. She said, I had to change my perspective, because I said to myself, if I am the author of my own book, of my life, what do I want to write this next part of my life to be? And so, do I want to be a victim, or do I want to have this hope and go forward in a new way? And she chose, obviously, the latter.
Exactly. And you know, a lot of us go through, I recently went through this back in August of last year, which is not that long ago, maybe 6-7 months ago, and I was diagnosed with a very rare form of ovarian cancer. And for a lot of women, that's a death sentence. You know, it's called the silent killer for a reason. And, you know, a lot of times if it's far enough along, because you don't know you have it, it doesn't show up in your blood and it doesn't show up on a pap smear. And some women, it's like, well, you're lucky if you get another 3 years. Maybe, you know, so anyway, they removed the tumor and I've done chemotherapy. And yes, I do have eyelashes and eyebrows now and a little bit of hair, a little hair on my head. But the thing about it is that you could look at that and go, well, okay, it's over. Or you could look at that as, or the way I'm looking at it is, okay, what does this mean? What good could I do now? And yes, as soon as I'm strong enough and back on, you know, gung-ho again, I'll be doing a lot of work for the American Cancer Society, and particularly with ovarian cancer, because it's important. And I feel like, and also it's given me a whole new perspective on life in general and what it means, you know, spiritually, what it means. So, I mean, and I hope everyone doesn't have to wait for something like that to happen to them, for them to be woke, is the new word out there right now, but to be woke. Yeah, because, you know, we should all be woke all the time anyway, you know, because really, honestly, you know, we all have an expiration date. Some of us may know what it is, and some of us may not. And even if you do know what it is, or you don't, I mean, they don't know where I am, really, technically. I'm good right now. So let's just go with right now. Do we know it's going to happen 5-6 years? Yeah, exactly. We don't. None of us know what's going to happen tomorrow, let alone 5 or 6 or 10 years down the road. So, yes, we do need to be responsible and plan a little bit, but we really have to live for the moment, because that's all there is in the end. You know, it's here now,
and so this is a universal message of being in the present moment, of being right here now. Yes, and that means, you know, so let's look at that for a minute. Obviously, right this minute, we're doing the radio show, and everyone's listening.
Right.
Thank you very much, and so. It's what's your next step, and not to plan the future. Actually, in many regards, it's about always being in the present moment, because the future is created from the now. And the fear we talked about earlier that you mentioned of making these transitions is really a fear about the future. It's a fear of what could happen if. But if I just look at my moment, this moment, am I happy? Am I at peace? If I'm not, what can I change? Because I have the power to do that. I have the power to change and make bring happiness to myself and be at peace.
Exactly. And I think one of the most helpful ways I feel we can all do that is in the moment or any in the now is to be of service. Because you're right. I'm on your radio show, Dr. Gale, and I'm thrilled. And when I got on this radio show and at this very moment in the now, it's always about how can I help people? How can I not only help you, but how can I help people listening? What are they going to get out of this? This is where I go. And that makes you feel good. It does.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So obviously we can say everyone go out and read Sans' book, Life in Transition, because we all have transitions from jobs to children going off to college, to pets passing away, to, you know, family members mm-hmm. obviously leaving, to changing different houses in different countries or different cities. There's always transitions going on. So I know that you have amazing guidance in that book that everyone can benefit from. That's number one. But also, you do other consultations. You work mm-hmm. with people, correct? Individually?
I do. I don't call it readings per se, in quotes. It's more spiritual counseling because I feel like people get stuck and then they come and they read the books, they've got the CDs, they've listened to The Secret a million times, and they, you know, Law of Attraction and all of this, and yet they're not where they want to be, and they can't quite put their finger on what's blocking them or stopping them, and that's kind of where I try to go. And mm-hmm. usually it comes down to fear, and yeah. you know, fear of the future, because people, you were right about that, Gail, because really, honestly, it's people will fear, like, oh my God, will I get the job, then they get the job, will I keep the job, will they fire me tomorrow, will I get the man, and I want the man, then they get the man, is the man going to leave me, is he going to be there tomorrow, and then, you know, so they're never stopping and just enjoying and appreciating
the moment,
and yeah. And yeah, being in the now and being in the moment, and it really does make everything else happen when you feel good about where you are and do the best you can do where you're at with what you
yeah.
have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it starts there, and then things kind of magically appear, and then people wonder why. Well, that's why, because you're in the moment and you're living your life to the best you can. And you are at peace and enjoy. And the other thing I wanted to mention,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
being a service one.
I love that you mentioned that, because when we start to work mm-hmm. with others in whatever capacity, it could be a volunteer, it could be something outside of your work, or just working with your kids and their different groups, their friends, their Girl Scout troop, whatever, or your community, neighborhood, there's all kinds of ways that when we're of service for others, it just opens the heart. It makes the heart sing and brings you back into the present moment, actually, I believe.
Right. And the other thing that does that, and I know you're going to do this at the end of the show, but I think it's really important for everybody to have some form of meditation, because I don't know of any religion or human potential movement of any kind that doesn't really promote silence. And I think that 5 minutes in the morning even can change your life. I think it's really important, especially if you're transitioning, but just in life in general, to take some time when you first open your eyes in the morning to meditate and be still and be calm and to listen to your higher self and connect with whatever you want to call that source, the universe, and also a few minutes in the evening where you can just be grateful and at peace with whatever has been and be grateful and have a moment of gratitude. I think it's really important, and it does change your life. If I don't meditate in the morning, I'm a wreck by noon. I'm bumping into the walls. I'm bumping into the walls and I'm talking to myself and I'm like, oh, and I rarely miss, and I've been doing it for 30 years. So
mm-hmm.
It's like, to me, it would be like not brushing my teeth. you know?
Excellent, yes. Well, and you bring up a good point about being in that gratitude as well. Greg Braden just had a workshop for his new book, Human by Design, and was talking about that when we get into that space of gratitude in our heart and that stillness, as you're talking about with the meditation, we actually change our brain waves. We change our DNA. We upgrade our body, if you will. There's so many physiological and scientific validations now for meditation and being in that space of attitude, mm-hmm. of gratitude that, oh my gosh, it can be a daily practice for everyone. Needs to be.
It should be. I hope it is, because really mm-hmm. it will change your world. Because if you, especially first thing in the morning when your brain is the most plastic, it and it's not disturbed yet by, you know, children and the news and coffee and whatever, you know, and phones and telephone, cell phones, that people, you know, a lot of people wake up and the first thing they do is look at their cell phone, you know, and you need to have a minute where you can just be at peace. And it does change you physiologically, but it also changes you spiritually, you know.
Yeah.
And it's key to raising your consciousness. And for me, it's about, see, if you sit down to meditate and you get up the same person you were when you sat down, then you haven't done anything. So you want to get to that place. You might be more relaxed. Let's put it that way. That might be true. But to really kind of change your consciousness, you need to really sit and let yourself go through the thoughts coming and going, and letting them go, and moving above them, and transcending them, and coming to a place inside of you where you are deeply at peace, and or bliss or joy, even.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Those are the keys. And then you're getting up a different person. And if you're getting up a different person than you were when you sat down, that's when things change. You know?
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Servette, we have so many stories we didn't get to talk about.
I know.
But we're coming to the end of the show. Any sort of last words of wisdom for our listeners today?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think it comes down to, be yourself, be you to the full, which is what is truly beautiful. Because really, when you're being you to the full and you're being your authentic self and you're being true to who you are, then you can be at peace. Because I think a lot, because we didn't touch on that during the show, and I wanted to, so I'm going to do it now. But it's like,
yes.
you when you're not your authentic self, this is what causes you to be off kilter and out and not at peace and not in joy. Now, we're not all going to go through life in joy all the time, every second of every day. But the majority of the time comes from you being happy with who you are and not caring what other people think and just being you, be you to the full. That's what's beautiful. That's what I want to say.
Thank you. That's amazing. And you're absolutely correct. You know, to not care, this is what tends to hang people up. I know used to hang me up when I was younger and wanted to please everyone, is mm-hmm. trying to make their expectations of me happen, not just being who I am. So, yes, you've hit the nail on the head. That's a very sound advice and guidance.
Yeah,
Thank you.
It pays to remember. Remember, it's your life. It's your life to live how you choose.
Mm.
It's going to go quick. So just know, you live your life the way you want, and it's not about pleasing your parents or pleasing your friends or pleasing your husband or pleasing whoever, your boyfriend, whatever. It's about pleasing yourself, and not in a egotistical, selfish manner, but in a self-investing way, because then everybody else is happier too, right?
And you're right about that. Yes, absolutely. They don't have to be concerned about you because you're happy. You're taking care of yourself.
Right, and you're giving them more when you're taking care of yourself. You can give more.
Mm,
you know,
I like that. I like that a lot.
You, yeah, when you're good, and I don't know how much time we have, but I learned that lesson when, I'll make it really quick, when I got on an airplane with my daughter for the very first time, she was maybe 2 or 3 years old, and they said when the mask comes down from the thing, if something's happening to the plane, be sure and put it on yourself first. And I was like, are you kidding me? There's no way in hell I'm going to do it. And then I realized, oh my God, if you take care of yourself, then you can take care of everyone else, you know, in a much more effective way. So,
that is a perfect example. Well, thank you, Servette, for being on the Peace Brain Show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
You're very Great welcome. Show. So, again, this is Servette Hassan, and she is at the website servettehassan.org. That's S-E-R-V-E-T-H-A-S-A-N. .org. And please check out her books. She's written actually several, but definitely Life in Transition is a fabulous one you can get on Amazon. And again, that's servettehassan.org. So thank you very much for being on the Peace Brain Show. We are now going to take a breath. Yes. And go into our Peace Brain meditation. So I invite you to just sit back and be comfortable wherever you are, to be comfortable in your chair, and give yourself a grounding cord, as we've done in previous shows. That's an energetic connection from the base of your spine all the way down to the center of Mother Earth. I like to envision a beam of light, or maybe a tree trunk, or a monkey's tail. Have fun with it if you choose. Coming from the base of your spine, going down to the center of the planet, it grounds you, much like that third prong on the electrical outlet, that if energy comes your way, you can just ground it off into the earth. It's not yours. It's not yours to hold on to. So take a breath and be in the present moment. Be aware of your sacred heart. Perhaps close your eyes and go inward and really be within that heart space, that gratitude that we were just talking about. Think of one thing that you're grateful for. Yes. And be present to this moment. Whatever situation you're in, wherever your life is headed at the moment, know that you are the creator of your life. You have that choice that we were talking about, to really be your authentic self. So who are you? And I invite you to think of 5 words that describe who you are. And what I mean by this is, what are 5 qualities that you maybe want to use to describe yourself? Adjectives, adverbs. I'm patient, I'm systematic, I'm a leader, I'm creative, I'm happy, I'm fun. Not so much maybe a job, like I'm a teacher, doctor, lawyer, but really, who are you? What is it about you that makes you unique, that makes you different, makes you exciting, gives you that passion for life? I know for me, I love nature, so I would say, I am at wonder when I'm in nature. I love to be in that state of wonder. And I'm creative because I'm a writer or an artist or a singer. Whatever you are, whatever you love to do, come up with those 5 words. So if you were going to introduce yourself to someone new, picture yourself using these 5 words and saying, I am A, B, C, D, E. I am these words. And feel the vibration of these words. Feel who you truly are. You are amazing. We actually used to have a young woman who stayed with us for a while, and she would say that. She says, I am amazing. And I thought, what a wonderful thing to say, to actually claim it, to own it. So take a breath and feel the vibration of these words that you have chosen for yourself, that describe the authentic you, that give your life choice moving forward. And with these qualities of who you are, what would you like to do with these qualities? What would you like to be? You know, sometimes we follow the paths that other people lay out for us. And that's okay, perhaps, if we enjoy it, we like it, there are benefits to it. At the same time, what path would you like to walk in your life? What vocation or what label would you like to achieve for yourself? Do you want to be, I know for a while I was a zookeeper and I really wanted to do that. I loved animals, still love animals. But now I am a peacemaker, a peace builder. What do you choose to do for yourself? What labels do you want to put on you? That is your authentic self, and it brings that gratitude, that happiness, that joy into your life. And take a breath and embody that as well. And know that you can make a choice to make all that happen if you're not living it at this present moment. If this is a dream of your future, a dream of what you want to create, then think about the next baby steps that you might need to actually take to achieve that. A few minutes a day, an hour a week, volunteer at some place, go mentor with someone, get a part-time job doing it. Whatever it takes to learn more about this new part of yourself that wants to be expressed, bring it forth and be happy. Feel that happiness in your heart and know that you are the creator. You can be here in this moment and go through every new transition because, of course, change is the only constant in the universe. So I invite you to open your eyes, be present, come back to your room, be happy with yourself and these new words that you've chosen for yourself. You are unique and no one else can fill your shoes, and we're very happy to have you here on the planet. And thank you for tuning in to the Peace Brain Show today. We really are happy to have you here, and we invite you to go check out our website, tourismforpeace.com, and also worldpeacetrails.com, where you can learn about creating these places of peace and putting your mark on the World Peace Trails map. So thank you again. Have a beautiful day. Many blessings. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us on the Peace Brain Show. You can find us at tourismforpeace.com. Be sure to check out Dr. Gail's Akashic Records readings, her peace plans for your business or organization, and her recently published book, Opt for Peace, 9 Essential Steps to Achieving Peace, Power, and Prosperity. Tune in to BBS Radio Station 1 every other Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern to the Peace Brain Show for your next installment of wonder, inspiration, and practical peace.